Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Mark Howard is with us. Deadline day, the Preds. Ian brought up an interesting point. We were kicking it around just during the break. Ian brought up an interesting point because I want to say, like, the Preds didn't do anything, but they did do something. They did add defenseman Eric Gabranson from the Ottawa Senators for a low-level prospect in a 2023 seventh-round pick. And Ian was like, I don't even know if I consider that a move. And I'm like, yeah, you know, the more you say that, the more it really doesn't feel like a move. Like, if it's free agency in the NFL and the Titans sign Bud Dupree, that's a move. If they sign a special teamer like they did last year with Nick DeZubnar and whoever they signed this year to replace him, like, I get the email that's like, press conference for this guy. I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, it's some special teams guy that they say. Okay, whatever. So, I mean, they made a move, but not a huge move. I do want to ask this question. I want to kick it around the room with Mark and Caroline, which is this. I don't think the Predators have much of a chance to do anything in the playoffs. Am I ecstatic with what they've done recently? Heck yes. I mean, they have made an interesting season out of something that looked like it was headed down the toilet ASAP. And as a radio host, as a fan, you know, as somebody who needs something to do at 7 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday nights, I'm thankful for it. But I still just don't think they can beat Florida in a 7-game series, Carolina or Tampa Bay. I think they're the Kentucky Wildcats of the SEC East, and they're not beating Florida and Georgia. But Mark, I feel like they think they can. You know, I think they think, and David's lack of moves today, maybe some of it's because David is going to hang it up soon and he wants to give it another crack. But maybe they actually believe in this group. Again, I'm not sure I do, but they seem to think that. When you read the tea leaves, do you get the same vibe? And do you think that inside that room, this team thinks that they could compete in the playoffs if they do in fact make it? Like, actually have a chance?
I think David's motivations, you know, to ride this thing out to the last drop, you know, to the end of his career is an overstatement. Yeah, David still wants to win the Stanley Cup. He's achieved everything else in this game except that. So with all that being said, I think he feels like this team has potential. And I think that he's looking at it through rose-colored glasses. I mean, I do. I mean, I think that too much, it's almost like too much has gone right for them. And when they get the big guns back, they're going to be that much better. I don't know if that's, you know, an absolute guarantee. And I also think, too, that if they don't make the playoffs, and I've said this earlier in the show, if they don't make the playoffs, then he certainly sets himself up for a lot of criticism and second-guessing.
Caroline?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand people who want to see this team play together and make a run for the cup. I totally understand that. But if we saw anything on Saturday night, I think that just solidified to me that this team will not go far in the playoffs. It's been really fun to watch them beat Chicago and Dallas and Detroit. And those are really fun wins. A win is a win, and they've gone on this incredible streak so far. But when you watch them play against Tampa Bay, it was just so incredibly clear that they are not as good of a team as Tampa Bay or Carolina. To fans who say that they want to see this team make a run for the cup together, I totally understand it. But if you love something, set it free. This team is not going to win a cup. If you love that team and you want to see them make a run, then you have to give yourself the right pieces to make a Stanley Cup team. And this just isn't that.
I feel like sometimes people use the 17 run as like an excuse to believe something that maybe not, that probably isn't there. Like in 17, that was a team that had gone to game 7 with San Jose, who went to the cup final the year before. That was a team that was, I mean, that was a veteran team, like guys that had been through the wars. I mean, a tough series with Chicago, a tough series with Anaheim, a tough series with San Jose. It was the same group. And for most of that year, they were in a playoff spot. Now, it got a little tight there, but at the end, you knew they were going to make the playoffs. You just wondered, okay, is it going to be as the first wild card or the second wild card? And it was pretty clear that they were going to make the playoffs. Mark, to your point about the rose-colored glasses, I think that they're probably looking at 2017 and saying, hey, everybody counted us out then. We were the eighth seed then. Nobody believed we could beat Chicago then. And I just personally don't see it. Like, I think this is just a pure disagreement that they think in the dressing room, and now it feels like in the front office, they feel like they can compete in the playoffs. If this were another year and they were going to draw in a typical Central Division year and they were going to draw a regular St. Louis team, the Dallas team they drew in 2019, you know, if they were going to draw that team, I'd say, yeah, you know what? Who knows? These playoffs are all wild and crazy. Just let it go. But they're going to draw the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Mark, I think Caroline makes a pretty good point, which is, and I know they were really hurt on Saturday. And Saros, the number one reason why they're playing the way they're playing, didn't play. But I did think that that was a measuring stick game that was, hey, you can bring the effort for a full 60 minutes, and Tampa Bay's just better than you. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, there are a couple of different narratives that came out of that game. And one was, see, the Preds can hang with Tampa Bay. And my question was, they played about as well as they could possibly have played, and they still lost 3-0. And I get that, Pekka was playing, and maybe, you know, he is obviously not their top goaltender right now. And the other part of this equation is, and this is probably a point that they're going to emphasize, you know, in the building, is that right now UC Saros is third in the league in save percentage. So they feel like, you know, he has finally found it, and they're ready to hitch their wagon to him in the postseason. And can UC Saros steal a series maybe from a team like Tampa Bay? Maybe. I mean, that's the Stanley Cup playoffs are replete with stories like that. So, I don't agree. I would have traded a few of those guys, you know, but I get it. And we've got to remember that this year has an asterisk because they never really played with a full building. And I think getting to the playoffs is even more important maybe this year than in years past.
And, you know, we had Sean Henry on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about vaccinations. And Sean said that the more people that get vaccinated in Middle Tennessee, and it's happening every day, I got my first shot last week, the more people that get vaccinated in Middle Tennessee, the more people the health department is going to allow into the building. And if they look at this and say, hey, maybe Saros can squeeze out 3 home games at Bridgestone Arena. You'll certainly get 2 if you make the playoffs. But if Saros can squeeze out, you know, steal 1 game and you get lucky in another game and it squeezes out a 3rd game, like, maybe that is good for business. I mean, I'll be honest. I was thinking about the radio station. You know, here I've been the last 6 weeks saying, you know, sell players, sell assets, get picks back, you know, whatever. And you think about the radio station, the flagship station of the Predators, it'd be really nice if the Predators went on a nice long playoff run. But it'd also be really nice for the bottom line, and you know this, Mark, it'd be nice for the bottom line for them to make it to 1 playoff round, probably for all of us. And maybe that does factor into this, and we just haven't discussed it enough, is the possibility of...
Well, and the other part...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other part of this is, Jared, and I really believe this, knowing Sean Henry the way that I do. This city's been through a lot the last year or so. The pandemic, the bombing. I mean, it was just, you know, downtown has been through a lot. City's been through a lot. Predators maybe have a chance to do something to really give the city a pick-me-up. And I understand that too. And we remember, you know, how organic that whole thing was in 2017 and how it grew to a point that was just unimaginable to most of us, you know, by the time the final came. And I'm not saying they're going to a final. I'm not saying they're even getting out of the first round. But I think a lot of this is circulating around, you know, Bridgestone Arena and the executive offices when they start talking about the master plan for this team this season. And I think what they're seeing on the ice is really, I mean, it's the ultimate underdog story, this team. I mean, the Predators, in terms of star quality, have Roman Josi and maybe UC Soros this year. You know, beyond that, nothing. But the year, but remember, in 2017, Colton Sissons played out of his mind. Freddie Goudreau played in a way in the postseason that he could never sustain in the regular season. So they were getting contributions, you know, from a lot of people they didn't normally get during the regular season. And I think they feel like this team is a little bit like that.
And then I think the other question, too, is what about John Hines? You hire the guy to do the job. You ask him to turn around a team where guys are not playing hard. He goes through everything, a pandemic, changing the bottom of the roster, you know, demoting the most iconic player in the history of the franchise. I mean, does everything, and it doesn't look like it's going well, and it looks like he could be on the chopping block, and then all of a sudden it's like the message gets through, the team turns it around. You know, are you cutting out John Hines' legs if you automatically trade away Granlund, Holla, and Cousins today? Are you cutting out, you know, all of the equity that you have just built with John Hines? I think that's probably another way to look at it. But I still think it's like Kentucky football, man. I do. And I thought that Saturday was, you know, playing Georgia, playing Florida, and you lost by two touchdowns. Like, Georgia and Florida are going to be better than you. And I know you're glad. Like, Kentucky football should be happy that they are better than Vandy. They are better than Missouri. They are better than South Carolina. They are better than Tennessee. But you're not going to beat Georgia and Florida. And that's how I feel about this Predators team. You are better than Chicago. You are better than Columbus. You are better than Detroit. You're probably right there with Dallas. And you're probably not as good as the other three teams. And the other three teams are the teams that you have to play in the playoffs. I just really like that analogy, Mark. I'm probably going to use it like four more times today.
Well, listen, yeah, you look at Dallas, and man for man, Dallas should be ahead of the Predators. They have some games in hand, and a lot of knowledgeable hockey people still feel like the Stars have a run left in them, and that's the team to watch. Now, the Predators, you know, obviously play three in a row against the Blackhawks, and that could really tell the story as well. So you never know.
Here we go. Back to your phones next. We got text into the text line, 615-737-1025. We got a bunch of calls, though, to get to as well. We'll go to the calls first. We'll do that next. Mark Howard is here. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, our trade deadline special today. As always, it's always got a little something to it. Today, certainly no different. Hey, speaking of the downtown and everything that the city has been through that Mark alluded to, it's easy to forget that there are people in our community who are starving. Hunger in the United States is at an all-time high due to COVID-19. People who have never had to wait in line for food have to do so now. People like you and me, help us during the Feeding America Radiothon this Wednesday. Help by donating at radiocares.org or text radio to 662266, and a donation link will be sent to your phone. And again, there are a lot of people in all over the country who are starving right now, and you see, you know, the fact that the food kitchens and the pantries and the Second Harvest food banks of the world are just, you know, this past winter was real, real tough on a lot of people. 615-737-1025 is our number. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman and Company, Mark Howard is with us. Tune in to Robbie and Retro every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Preds have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. I do have one question for Mark Howard before we get to the phones, which is, if Taylor Hall is essentially going for a second-round pick, do you think there was a second-round pick that was offered for Mikhail Granlund? Like, do we think... And David Poile will speak at 4:30, and we'll carry that live here on the program. But do we think that there was an offer like that for David and that David said, no, I want to keep Granlund? Or do you think maybe it wasn't there?
It possibly wasn't there. The team that wanted him the most was Toronto. So, and Toronto went and got Foligno. Now, Taylor Hall... you know, came to Boston. You know, don't forget, they also included Curtis Lazar you know, in the deal. You know, Lazar, you know, is a bottom six center, but still a guy, you know, who, you know, could reasonably play for the Bruins. So, yeah, you know, and the other thing about Hall is a rental, you know, much like Grantland. So, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, but Taylor Hall's, you know, one of those guys. He is looking more like, you know, he's in the Matt Duchene department, and that is a guy, you know, who has a lot of physical ability, but doesn't produce enough and doesn't win. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that deal. But if you use that as a measuring stick, then I could see why the Preds, you know, might not have been offered a second for Grantland.
Oh, no. Taylor Hall is the Clowney of the NHL. Number one overall pick, should be a lot better. Had a nice season. He's the Jadeveon Clowney of the NHL. Everybody values his name. Like I saw on TV today, they were talking about if the Browns add Clowney, are they a Super Bowl contender? I'm like, what? Like Clowney? Super Bowl. Like, whoa now. But the name Clowney carries some weight. Taylor Hall, former number one overall pick, keeps getting traded team to team. Now, he had the MVP year with John Hines. But, yeah, I think his star has certainly dimmed. Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jack is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Jack.
I think we're overlooking one big point about the trade deadline. This was a time, the only time that I can remember in a long time, where the fan expectation was not that high. This was the golden opportunity to make trades, even if it hurt the team a little bit, even if we didn't make the playoffs, people weren't going to get mad. They weren't going to be angry about that. They were conditioned for that. And even though the team's playing better, if you trade a couple of guys and we didn't make the team, we build a team, but we're going to lose a bunch of quality players. And there's no getting around it that we could have got something for. And I don't think we'd be much worse with those guys gone because the way these young kids are playing, they're the ones that made the damn team look good anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, Granlin did a lot, but, I mean, you stick Kunin in there, some of these other guys, and they're going to make us look pretty good too.
Yep. No, I appreciate your call, Jack. I think there's probably a point to this, and, Mark, I think you hit on this earlier, which is it does kind of feel like today David put pressure on himself to make the playoffs, because if they don't make the playoffs and Granlin goes and signs somewhere else and Cousins and Holla don't come back and you are pickless, like you are pickless right now as Craig Smith has something like 11 points in 12 games for the Bruins, and you were pickless that you didn't get a pick in return for Craig Smith last year, I think most people have kind of forgotten the fact that Smith and Granlin were out there and they didn't trade them last year. I don't think they'll forget this if this team doesn't make the playoffs this year.
Well, I don't think Grantland really falls into that category. You know, Smitty, I think they could have gotten something for, you know, last year at the trade deadline. But I told you before, you know, I think Ryan Suter getting away, you know, certainly had an impact on David's thinking. And I think to that end, he'll look at Matthias Ekholm, maybe Ryan Ellis, I don't know. But Matthias Ekholm, who's got an expiring contract, and make a deal. I mean, we're wringing our hands over Grantland. That could be legitimate, or we could look back on it and go, okay. And Smitty hasn't been that great for the Bruins.
No, they can't stand him up there. Do you think they missed out? The thing, I mean, we've talked about Grantland a lot. Do you think they missed out on Cousins and Holla? I think Cousins was
They were going to get, you know, a sixth or a seventh round pick for those guys, maybe a five. It's a lottery ticket. I can understand that. I don't think there might not have been a huge demand. I'll be interested to hear what David has to say, because we might be overestimating Grantland's value. If he was offered a three or a four, then you start thinking a little bit differently. And I'm sure he did. But I don't know how specific he's going to get. But Grantland was the one guy that I was really surprised didn't get moved.
Well, I was told last year that David would have made the move immediately on a first-round pick for either Smith or Granlund, didn't get offered it. Probably would have made the move on a second-round pick for Smith or Granlund and didn't get offered it. So if teams weren't willing to offer you a second-round pick for Granlund this year, I do wonder how many teams were hesitant. You know, and I mean, again, I think the market told you Granlund goes into free agency. He's a $5 million player, $5.75 million player, goes into free agency, gets no bites, comes back at 3.75 or whatever it is. I mean, took a reduced salary to come to a team that didn't really want him back. And I wonder if the league is looking at it like, yeah, we don't really like this guy that much. Like, I certainly think that maybe we, and you brought up a good point. I don't know if David will tell us this or not, but maybe we're overestimating what Mikhail Granlund's value actually was to the rest of the league. Because you can't get mad at somebody for not trading Granlund for a second-round pick if there was no second-round pick to be offered in exchange for Granlund.
Yeah, Nate, it's the old courtroom line. You know, we can't assume facts, not in evidence, and that is certainly the case. I think they like Granlund. They just liked him a lot more at the $3.75 million yeah. than they did at 5 or 6. And there, that's what's going to be interesting after this year when he goes into a pretty tough free agent market, you know, where teams are a lot more conservative and throwing nickels around like manhole covers. You know, Taylor Hall, how much better did Taylor Hall make, you know, make his life by signing a 1-year contract going to Buffalo?
Oh,
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, Nate is up next here on the show. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey guys. And Caroline, I did want, you know, for at least a soft sell, but I mean, I really can't be mad at the team or Poyle for not doing much at all, if anything, like y'all were talking about a minute ago. Cause I mean, you have to have two in order to trade. And I really don't know that David really got anything that he thought would be a fair trade. So I don't know.
Thank you for your call, Nate. I can kind of talk myself into that a little bit, Mark. And then I see Matthias Janmark goes to the Golden Knights for a second. And I'm like, nah, they probably got offered a second for Granlund.
Well, but I'll say this. Vegas still has draft picks to burn. And they're looking to make a run at the Stanley Cup. So they're going to be a lot more aggressive and probably offer a lot more. So it just depends. I think there are aggressive buyers and sort of softer buyers. And I think that this market was a little trickier. And that's, you know, and you weren't going to get, as I like to say, the airport prices.
Do we think, I mean, I say quick around the room. Do we think that the Toronto thing played out? Where Toronto called and kept calling and kept calling. I mean, the way that the Canadian media that covers that team is like the Yankees media. And so they are all over it, and they have been talking for weeks and weeks about Granlund and the Leafs. And we heard, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Ian, you played a clip where they said on TSN, you know, they keep calling Nashville, and Nashville's not sure. And do we think that finally the Leafs said, okay, fine, we're moving on? And that was when Granlund's value was the highest was before. The Predators kept saying, let's see, let's see, let's see. And finally the Leafs moved on? Or do you think the Leafs maybe made a pass at it and came back around and still the Predators are like, no, we want to try to make a run at it with this group?
Leafs were pretty eager. You know, remember that. You know, they got Foligno and they got Stefan Nosen, but they gave up a 1 and a 4. I'm sorry, a 1 and 2 4s. And, you know, on top of that, they went out and got another goaltender, you know, and David Rittich from the Flames. So they were a pretty eager buyer. Like anything else, I don't think that they were focused on just one team and one player. I think they're really happy. I mean, Foligno's a totally different player. In my opinion, than Granlund is. You know, Foligno's going to be that guy that they send out at the end of the game to be a shutdown forward. You know, Foligno's a guy who's going to calm things down in the room. I mean, the guy's been a captain. You know, he's got that sort of alpha dog gene, and that's always good to bring into a team. So I think they might have gotten a better offer, to be honest with you, you know, with Foligno than with Granlund.
Caroline?
See, I don't think there's any way that the Leafs didn't call the Preds. I mean, I think the only way that that would be the case is if David Poile said a long time ago, we're not giving him up. Because there have been so much talk surrounding Granlund going to the Leafs, and it made sense. He was tied to that team, so it would have made sense for that trade to be made. So either they called and Poile said no, or they didn't call because Poile said don't even bother.
I just don't like Granlund that much. I mean, I'll be honest. I think he's a hell of a lot better under John Hines than he was under Laviolette. And I think he is a nice little second or third line forward. But I just don't like it. I mean, a second round pick to me is a second round pick. Mark's with us. We're back to your phones next. Plus, a Granlund thought. Maybe David tipped his hand last week to the midday show. I'll explain. We'll get to that coming up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is here. Caroline's here. Stillman & Company. Delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Eric Goodbranson traded from the Ottawa Senators to the Nashville Predators. This is one Bruce Gerak spoke about earlier, and Bob McKenzie, which Pierre Dorion really likes. Eric Goodbranson, veteran presence on the Ottawa blue line this year, just had a baby, but at the deadline, and we'll see what the return is, Eric Goodbranson goes to the Nashville Predators. Nashville, another interesting story, because they looked like a surefire seller just a couple of weeks ago, have gone on this terrific run and are now in a playoff spot in that East Division, in the fourth and last playoff spot. So they go out and get instead of dealing and add Eric Goodbranson at the deadline.
I thought Goodbranson would be around for Ottawa for a couple of years just to make sure nobody touches Stützle, keep things in control back there. But the Nashville Predators obviously found a need there where they want a veteran experienced guy. He keeps it pretty simple, and he's very tough in his own zone. I just thought he was a good fit in Ottawa to just kind of patrol the blue line and make sure nobody's screwing around out there with those young star players.
If I were to say that today is Titans free agency day and the big move is they signed a long snapper, how would you feel? And that's kind of similarly to what we have with today's Preds trade deadline. Mark Howard is with us. So I heard David Poile say something, and this, as we were talking about, means no Mikhail Granlund trade. And I heard something David Poile said last week on Tuesday. When I heard him say it to Chase, Mark, I immediately texted Chase, and I said he's not going to trade Granlund. So I want to play this clip, and I wonder if David is tipping his hand as to what he thinks about Granlund in it. Here's what he said last Tuesday in his weekly appearance on Darren Donick and Chase.
You do have some guys on your team with expiring contracts after this season that we have talked about. Granlund, of course, is one of those that was on a one-year contract. Has the way that your team has played made you kind of rethink of maybe you might want to try and talk to them about potentially coming back to the Predators? Have there been any type of conversations about somebody like Granlund returning beyond this year?
No, there hasn't, but to your point that, I think this is not the week to be talking about that, but, as we go forward and get past the trading deadline, that might be very appropriate. I think Granlund has played just terrific for us this this year, and he's certainly one of the players that has been the most consistent all year long. So I'm open to lots of different things that maybe weren't exactly as clear to me or to anybody after the first 15 or so games of the season. So I think there's just a lot of good things that are happening with our club right now.
I heard that, Mark, and I thought he's not going to trade him, and he didn't trade him. Do you think that they're going to try to re-sign Mikhail Granlund?
No. Probably not. I shouldn't give you an absolute no, because that's the kind of player that David might bring back. But I also think too, David, I'm sure, trolled the waters. I mean, I think he went out, and made some calls or fielded some calls to find out, what Grantland's value was around the league in terms of, being a trade piece. And I think, the whole situation was organic. I think that David was probably of the mind 4 or 5 weeks ago that he was probably going to trade Granlund. And I think he felt like the situation changed. So it wasn't, you know, by the time you get to deadline day, you've, you know, exchanged a lot of phone calls with most of the general managers around the league. And most of the deals that are made have been talked about before or are relatively simple. And I'm sure that some are tougher than others. But I would imagine David knew what Grantland's value was a few weeks ago. And I don't know if it changed. But as far as re-signing him, yeah, possibly. But I think, again, that Grantland, you know, might go out there and think that he's a $5 million a year player. And I don't think he is. And David probably doesn't either.
Caroline, do you think Mikhail Granlund's on the Predators next year?
I don't think that he will be. But my question is, if you're not going to plan on re-signing him next year, why not get rid of him now and get something for him?
Yes. Why is he here? Why? And that is the number one question at 4:30 that has to be asked. Why is he here? Why? And we all know the answer. Why? I mean, I'm saying this rhetorically, but we know that it's because they think better of this team than we do. They think better of the potential of this club than we do. And that's where I have a big disconnect right now with – I really have had a big disconnect with David as far as what the team is for the last two and a half years. I mean, once the Simmons and Granlund moves didn't work out two deadlines ago and they got knocked out in the first round, I was kind of like, I don't know if this window is still wide open. And then they fired Laviolette, and I didn't agree with that. And then, and I mean, now it kind of looks like, hey, Hines is a pretty decent coach. But they fired Laviolette, and they didn't make a move on Smith last year. They didn't make a move on Granlund last year, and I didn't agree with that. And then they came into this year, and it looked like the team was a mess, and it looked like they were going to trade a lot of guys, and I did agree with that. But then they didn't trade them, and so I don't agree with that. And I just, I feel like, you know, going back to the Adam Vingan take when he said terrible deadline, I just look at it and I'm like, you know, the 2019 deadline ended up not being very good for you. The 2018 deadline was not very good for you. The 2020 deadline, you got nothing in return. The 2021 deadline, you got nothing. I mean, I guess I shouldn't, you know, you're not going to hit a grand slam every year. But Mark, I guess the more I talk about this, the more I get worked up about it, because I do feel like it was a big opportunity that was lost. And we know the opportunities when you're winning on the other side are just so painful when you buy that rental player for a run and you get knocked out in the second round or the Western Conference final or something, and it's just so painful. And this year I thought was kind of a way to have it on the other side, and clearly they don't agree with the way that I feel about that situation.
Yet, if the Predators make the playoffs and Grantland plays well, at some point, you're going to say, wow, good thing David didn't trade Grantland.
Sure.
but you know, we said it a million times today. If they don't make the playoffs, then the second guessing comes. And I think David understands that just comes with the territory.
Let's get to your phones, because apparently we got a lot of them. A lot of text to get to. 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Mark Howard is with us. That's right. Mark Howard with us, as we are on our trade deadline special. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. By the way, speaking of the Predators, Smashville Live. Be sure to listen to Smashville Live. Join us on Wednesday from 6 to 7 for Smashville Live, featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Dominic Company, Caroline Fenton here, Mark Howard here. Predators make one minor move today. They trade for Eric Gudbranson, a defenseman, you know, a third pair at best guy. Hal Gill says on Twitter, quote, "This is a great get for the at Preds NHL." I had to quote tweet it, and I love Hal, and he'll be on the show tomorrow, Mark. Good grief. A great get for the Predators. Come on, Hal.
Fellow tall guy, skills, he loves those guys.
Oh, that, you know what? That's so true. He loves the slow defenseman because when Jared Tenorti got shipped off to Boston, and boy, was it great to get him off the team. When they shipped Jared Tenorti to Boston, Hal tweeted like the Bruins or tweeted Nesson or tweeted somebody and was like, oh, you're going to love Tenorti. I'm like, what? Like, Tenorti, again, at best, third pair defenseman. And so maybe we're on to something with Hal and his love for big, slow defensemen. Not to say that there'd be any reason why Hal would love those guys, but I guess maybe Hal. I had to quote tweet it, though, Mark, and say, oh, good grief, when I saw Hal said that he was a great get for the Predators. Text line. Caroline, what do we have on the text line?
One texter texted in, and kind of a good follow-up to the question that Mark posed before the break is, what if the Preds don't make the playoffs? And this texter said, Poile must believe this team will make the playoffs if they continue playing this way. But what happens if the Preds don't make the playoffs? Would that be the decision that at this trade deadline, would that be the worst decision in franchise history?
Ooh, that's a take. I'm going to say no, but Mark, what do you think?
No. Hell no. I mean, this team's a borderline playoff team. But that's playing well right now. But, this is – no. That one – first of all, when you're talking about, trading a free agent to be, and we're basically talking about Grantland here. I know that Hall, figures in and Cousins as well, and I thought David, should have moved those guys. But, no, I'm not going to consider it a colossal failure. But he will get second-guessed for not, making deals on trade day.
I stand by saying I think the worst move in the history of the franchise is the Kyle Turris trade. Because not only did you deal, a legitimate first-ish second-pair defenseman in Sam Girard, but you also gave a second-round pick up. Colorado got set up with the pick, I believe, that ended up being Cale Makar. So they got Cale Makar and Sam Girard in a deal where they shipped out Matt Duchene. Ottawa turns around and gives you Turris. You sign Turris to a 6-year, $36 million contract in which you're going to be paying him for now, I think, the next 8 years? Kyle Turris is on the books. So you literally gave a first-pair defenseman and probably also two first-pair defensemen, or you helped facilitate a division rival getting two first-pair D-men. And you took on maybe one of the worst contracts in the history of the franchise that you will be paying for forever. And you gave up a second round pick. I still think that's the worst trade. And if Colorado wins a cup because of this group, that trade will be something that Colorado looks back to and says, that was the moment that set us up. Now, again, the being bad and the drafting McKinnon and Rantanen, and like, that's why Colorado's up there. But I still, to this day, Mark, every time I think about worst move, it's the Turris trade. And I don't really think there's much of a close second.
Yeah, I do. I'm not. Are you sure about the second round pick in 2018 turning out to be Makar?
No. The pick that Ottawa sent to Colorado in order to get Duchene ended up being the fourth overall pick, which was Makar.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
So that whole three-team deal with Turris coming here and, that was what – I mean, you didn't give them Cale Makar, but you facilitated the deal and you gave them Sam Girard, so that was
– Well, I don't really put that on – that I don't put on David, but, losing Sammy Girard, I mean, we can go through all the what-ifs. And the weird part was that – I think Duchene was, was the player that he really wanted. But I also understand why Colorado was not going to trade within their division and send Duchene here. So I understand why everything, turned out the way it did. And Kamenev still has not really – he's been hurt, and a lot of other things. But the Sammy Girard part and the Turris part, set them back. No question.
I mean, is it not amazing to think about what Matt Duchene went for in that trade? What Duchene went for in that three-team deal and what he went for to Columbus, which I believe was two firsts. You know, one of them was conditional, but I think it was a pretty easy condition to make. And so Columbus dealt two
first. He played great for Columbus.
He was great. But think about now how if somebody offered you a seventh, a conditional seventh just to take the salary, fans here would say, do it, trade it, sold. And it's...
Yep.
What else we got, Caroline?
Another texter to the text line, which falls into that category that I mentioned earlier of just being so hopeful about this team. This texter says, the loss to Tampa was, from the eye test, one of our best games against a very good team night and day for the game we played a month ago. The puck goes a few inches in a different direction in that game, and we would have won. They're playing amazing. You got to believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I feel that way about Saturday night's game. Like, I felt like Saturday night's game was like, hey, you can play your butt off, and that's still as close as you're getting to Tampa Bay.
Exactly. I think they played as the best game they possibly could have played, and they couldn't be disappointed about that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you gave it your all. It doesn't matter if you played the best you possibly could have played. You still lost 3-0.
Mark, what do you think?
I don't believe in moral victories. I just don't. I remember at the end of last year when all those guys talked about, you know, how great they played, you know, in that first series against Arizona, but they lost 3-1, and that pretty much made me want to hurl. I mean, so I don't want to hear that. I'm of the school. I don't want to hear about the labor pains. I want to see the baby.
I by the way, have been corrected. I do apologize for this. Cale Makar was already drafted by the Avalanche. Hadn't signed, I don't think, at that point. Bowen Byram was the fourth overall pick that Colorado got from Ottawa. So maybe that tourist trade isn't as much as I hate it for, but I still hate it. And I still think it's
hurt the Preds.
Yeah.
It hurt the Preds.
I still think it's the worst move. And you know the other thing, too? Not to say that it really has affected much today, because I don't think shipping off Halla, Cousins, or Granlund would have affected this. But I do wonder how much that Cup team in 17, bringing Turris in 18, and then losing some guys, you know, losing Mike Fisher and losing Scott Hartnell and losing those guys, I wonder how much that played into maybe some of the issues that followed the team after the 18 season.
But you had, you know, Mike Fisher sort of running on fumes. I mean, you know, Mike Fisher was at the end of his career, as was Hartsey. And, you know, I just think that, you know, a lot of that was, you know, to me, was Johansson never developing into the center that we saw during that playoff run consistently. Yep. I mean, that to me has had a huge impact on the franchise. And, you know, because, you know, we're going to look back on Johansson's stay here as sort of similar to David Legwand. You know, David Legwand had some great years here, but everybody felt like he should have been better. And I think they look at Johansson the same way.
Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and this may not be fair. So if it's not fair, you can just say it's not fair. If you had to give the Predators a grade, like if, and I know I hate grading the draft the day after the draft. I think it's so dumb. Mel Kiper Jr. gives out only A, Bs, and Cs, and it's like, what? Like, somebody had to get an F. But if you had to give David Poile a grade for this deadline, would you give him a passing grade today?
If I gave him a passing grade, it would be on the low end. So I'm thinking C-, D+.
Yeah, I was afraid he was going to say that. Oh, Caroline, what else do we have?
I say that with peace and love, but.
Well, kind of following up to that, I mean, it's tough to grade drafts and trade deadlines so soon. Like, let's grade the Titans draft last year.
F.
The day of, I would have said B+. That's what they need. Today, F. So I will grade the trade deadline in June. Chad from Chattanooga texted in and said, do you think that Mikael Granlund would have been traded if there weren't so many forwards injured?
I'm going to say that didn't have anything to do with it.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they're getting guys back. And not only are they getting guys back, but, you know, they can bring a guy up. I mean, if you really are committed to getting assets for the future, you'll lose some games in the short term with Tanner Janot. you know, on your roster.
See, I would have flipped that and said they should have traded Grantland because they were getting forwards back.
That's the other side of it too. A lot of people say, well, where are you going to put Duchesne? I heard today Willie was like, you know, we were trying to figure out where Forsberg's going to go and where Tolvanen's going to go and where Duchesne's going to go. And I heard that. I said, they're going in the lineup, Willie. That's where they're going. Where? I don't know. They're going in the lineup. Mark, thank you so much for stopping by with us today on Trade Deadline Day. I knew the Preds fans needed somebody who wasn't going to fly off the handle. And, you know, sometimes your best strengths are knowing what your biggest weaknesses are. And I knew the potential of me flying off the handle was legitimate. And that's why I felt like we had to bring in the big guns. Mark Howard today. Mark, always good to have you on.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, Mark Howard, a legend in these parts. And I can't say it yet. I can't say it for sure. But I just feel really good about some future programming we may be having around here. And so I'll just leave it at that. Not going to say nothing. Just going to leave it at that. By the way, we'll take a quick breather. David Poile will meet with the media at 4:30. We'll have David's full reaction to his lack of movement today. Why? So we'll have that at 4:30. Adam Vingan in the 5 o'clock hour will join us as well. So we're absolutely loaded on the trade deadline. But the NFL draft, of course, coming up right around the corner. Trey Wingo, who will not be hosting the draft this year, but deep down in our hearts, we probably all think he probably should. Trey Wingo will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and his thoughts on the draft and much, much more. That's next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving on ESPN 102.5 The Game.